Hello, everyone. What's going on? This is the Noah Gillian Show, and I, of course, am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. It is April 27th, 2024, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the NFL draft that wrapped up today. We're going to go in depth on the Eagles' picks, who they ended up selecting, and what their outlook's going to be for this upcoming season and beyond. So before we get into that, definitely please hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, give the show a follow. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram. The Noah Gillian Show is the handle. You can find all our handles in the description below. So without further ado, let's just jump right into it. So the Eagles wrapped up the 2020 and 24 draft today, and it was exciting. It was a pretty chalk draft in the first round for a lot of the top picks. But as the draft went on, it was up to its usual shenanigans, as always. Side note before we get into it, it'll be the first show we're back in a little while now, a couple months off. Obviously, we just welcomed a little one into our lives, so he's been taking the front seat there, but you can guarantee we'll be back and better than ever on the Noah Gillian Show as we gear up in the summertime. So just wanted to get that out of the way at the beginning. But let's talk about the Birds draft, because in a lot of eyes, they had a phenomenal draft, and I agree with a lot of the popular sentiment. Howie, it feels like, and I saw this on Twitter, so I can't take credit for it specifically, but it just feels like after that Jalen Reagor pick, instead of taking Justin Jefferson, Howie has just totally locked in on this draft stuff and really has taken it to another level. During the course of this weekend, Howie Roseman made the most draft weekend trades of any team. Just absolutely unbelievable. In a single weekend, I believe it was 8 total draft weekend trades, just accumulating future picks, also jumping up and getting guys that they wanted. Just all, you know, phenomenal things that are going to sustain, hopefully, winning for the Philadelphia Eagles franchise. And honestly, the first round, I expected a move. Howie has traditionally traded up in drafts. For the last 5 drafts, he has traded up for the pick. Devontae Smith, Jalen Carter, just to name a few. Jordan Davis, these guys. So when Howie ended up staying put and made the selection at number 22, it was a little shocking. But when you looked at how the landscape of the draft was really unfolding, it made a lot of sense. I mean, the first 16 picks were all offensive players. And I think a big need for the Eagles coming into the draft, we all pretty much assumed it was going to be a defensive selection, whether it be a pass rusher, obviously, since the Eagles no longer employ Hassan Reddick, since they traded him to New York, the Jets, that is. So, you know, and an edge rusher was always on the table. You know how Howie loves the trenches. More than likely was not going to go linebacker or safety. So cornerback was the other area of big need that, you know, there was a few guys in the first round that graded as first round players that Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles identified as potential options for the number 22 pick. And one of those guys was Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. The Eagles were going to be aggressive here from everything they've said to move up to get him if that's the way the draft was falling. But what happened was offensive players were flying off the board, and then the edge rushers, you know, and those guys went. When, you know, after all the O-linemen and the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, all those guys went, then, you know, Howie was just like, I'll stay here, fine. And they draft what they believe was the number one cornerback in the 2024 class. I mean, this guy, there's so much to like about this pick. Obviously, a lot of people are going to throw red flags up at Toledo. He did not go to a big Power 5 school. That's not to say he did not have interest. He had some issues in high school, which therefore led him to Toledo, to give him an opportunity to play football at the collegiate level. And when he started to make a name for himself, bigger programs tried to come in with their NIL money and tried to get him to transfer to a bigger university. But what did Quinyon do? He stayed at Toledo because of the relationships that he made with the coaching staff and his teammates, and he wanted to honor and respect the scholarship that they offered him. And honestly, that says more to me than any tape possibly can. You're talking about a guy that, honestly, if we're, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but you're probably talking about SEC schools. You're talking about ACC schools. You're talking about Big 12. You're talking about Big East. You're talking about all these teams. Not every single team, obviously, but you know, you're probably talking about a lot of major ranked college programs, top 25 programs, potential playoff teams that were going to Toledo to try to get Quinyon Mitchell to transfer to their universities with their NIL money, with this, with that, everything. And Quinyon said, no, I'm going to stay at Toledo. I'm going to do my thing. And he absolutely dominated. He did not commit a single penalty during his senior year. Just an absolute, everything was good. And I think I can only say so much before, you know, I run out of obviously like football IQ talk. But when I listen to other guys like Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco, when I listen to these like great route runners and receivers and Hall of Fame players talk about this guy, I mean, they were like drooling over his footwork, his hips, his ability to drop the anchor and attack, you know, the ball when it's in the air. I mean, when I hear that and I hear Lewis Riddick, you know, loving this guy on the broadcast, like that's what I need to hear, you know. And I know they talk up a lot of people, but at the same time, like, I don't know, this was the number one cornerback in the class. Like there, a bunch of position groups were well represented, and obviously every single number one in those position groups was salivated over, you know, whether that be Caleb Williams or Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt. All these guys that were the number one guy at their position, yeah, a lot of people are going to love those, and that was Quinyon Mitchell to a lot of people, and I loved it. I love the pick. I think Howie understood what went wrong last year, and you know, and credit to Howie Roseman. I mean, he's not just going to sit here and allow issues to continue to fester and allow issues to continue to haunt the team. He's going to do something about it. Now, maybe Quinyon turns into nothing. You know, maybe he ends up getting to Philadelphia and getting exposed by playing against NFL players. Maybe. But what is Howie doing? Howie's going out and addressing the cornerback position with the number one guy in the class. And then what does he do in round two? We have number 50 and number 53 in the second round. Howie trades them both. See ya. I'll send them both away. We're sending them to Washington to move up to number 40 to get who? Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa. Both of these guys were in contention to be potentially the number one corner in the class. DeJean was a great return specialist as well. Made an All-American team, I believe, as a returner. Also was in consideration just as a defensive back, his primary position. There seems to be questions about just how great he is on the outside, but just watching at least a little bit of tape that I did and seeing him play, he just reminds me of a Reed Blankenship. He reminds me of just one of those tough, just stout, and he almost reminds me more of like a slot corner, like kind of like maybe not as shifty as an Avante Maddox, maybe a little thicker than Avante, but like that type of player. Like I think he's going to play safety. I think he's going to play strong safety, free safety. I think he's going to play slot corner. I think he's going to play dime in the nickel. I think he'll play outside as well. I think he will. But I think Quinyon and Cooper, what Howie Roseman did by acquiring these two players was, it was an understanding of self-reflection. That's what it was at the end of the day. He understood where the weaknesses, where the holes were. I'm going to go out and if I can't do it in free agency, if I can't do it via trade, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the NFL draft and get the best young players I can. And he did. Arguably, there was a couple other corners. There was a corner from Alabama. I'm blanking on his name right now. But it seemed like him, DeJean, and Mitchell were kind of like that consensus top three. It was really a flavor of what you wanted. Kool-Aid McKinstry was also right there, but he ended up slipping to the second round. There was a big run on corners. oddly enough, started by the Eagles with the DeJean pick. 40, 41, 42, 43 were all cornerback, defensive back picks. So he's Howie recognized it, jumped ahead, and got the guy that he wanted. And honestly, I'm overjoyed because you're talking about a class that had, you know, really, really good defensive back potential. One thing Howie also said in his press conference talking about the DeJean pick specifically was they had a first round grade on Cooper. And what everyone needs to understand about the grading and what the big boards and what these general managers and front offices do is just because there's 32 picks in the first round, that does not mean there's 32 first round grades on these teams' big boards, right? So just because there's 32 picks, there's not 32 players that are in some teams' eyes worth a first round selection. So for Howie Roseman to come out and say, you know, sometimes maybe it's 15. Some classes are maybe weaker than others, right? And there might be 14, 15, 16. Some classes are stronger where there might be 20, 23, 24. But rarely is it 32. And what Howie said was this guy had a first round grade for them. So did Quinyon Mitchell. Cooper DeJean also had a first round grade. So when you're talking about being able to get two cornerbacks who have that kind of grade by the Philadelphia Eagles, I just love it. I think there's so much good that can come out of this. You know, if one fails and one ends up being good, great. If both of them turn out phenomenal, awesome. If one of them misses, you know, you took your shots. Next year we'll come back and we'll try it again, right? But it makes for a very, very interesting cornerback room. We're going to have big play. Slay obviously is going to be the main cornerback option on the outside. Avante Maddox was also re-signed, so he's going to be in the mix for the slot as that nickel corner. James Bradberry, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how he does. I'm anticipating a June 1st cut for James Bradberry. It just seems like he's kind of run his race with the Eagles. You know, would I like to see him back as a mentor? Yeah, sure, why not? But I just like, I don't want to rely on him every single Sunday when we're putting such an emphasis into the Philadelphia Eagles secondary, right? So you're going to have that. You're going to have Bradberry. You're going to have Josh Jobe. You're going to have Eli Ricks. You're going to have these guys competing for the outside. And then also Isaiah Rodgers, a trade acquisition last year for Howie Roseman, was serving a year-long suspension for gambling. So it wasn't like he was injured or anything. Recently was removed from that list and is fully allowed to participate in Eagles activities. And what Isaiah Rodgers was a top five corner via Pro Football Focus in his time with Indianapolis. And you're talking about adding that guy. You're talking about adding Quinyon Mitchell. You're adding Cooper DeJean. You're bringing back a healthy Avante Maddox to go along with Darius Slay, James Bradberry. You're talking about a cornerback. And this is not even, and I didn't even mention Kelly Ringo, a fourth round pick out of Georgia last year by the Eagles, who AJ Brown mentioned as one of the toughest guys he went up against in practice. I mean, that's all I need to hear, right? He could stink, but when AJ Brown's talking about how tough he is, the potential, like how he gives him fits, he's physical, he's long, he's quick, like that to me means, okay, this is a guy, right? So you're going to have, just on the outside, right, you're going to have Slay, Bradberry, Ringo, Ricks, you're going to have Quinyon Mitchell, you know, going out of there. And then when you get to the slot and you're going to have your nickel and dime corners, that's where I see DeJean fitting in. That's where I see Avante Maddox. I didn't even mention Isaiah Rodgers. I'm just talking, that's 7 to 8 cornerbacks that all got time last year, all flashed last year outside of Rodgers, or have flashed in the last couple years. I'm just so excited. That was easily the weakest part of the Philadelphia Eagles last year was their pass defense. And I think Howie has totally addressed it and gone all out. And I think that's all you can ask for from Howie Roseman. As we move through the draft, their number three pick they made, number 94 overall, was Jalix Hunt, an edge rusher from Houston Christian. Now, this was kind of, this reminds me a lot of the Josh Sweat pick. Not so much because of like an exact like-for-like comparison. Obviously, Josh Sweat was dealing with a knee injury coming out. Eagles got him in the fourth round. But a very, very just like, just a beautiful athletic specimen and that can rush off the edge. This was a guy that a lot of people, as we kind of got out of the second round into the third round, was a guy that was gaining a lot of steam. Just a lot of talk was coming out about Jalix Hunt, and Howie Roseman was nervous that people were going to find out about him and we're going to maybe jump him for Hunt. But he said, no, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to get my guy. An athletic freak who absolutely measured tremendously at the combine. You know, just did everything that, you know, you needed to see from a small school guy. Just like Quinyon Mitchell, you know, he went to the combine, he went to the Senior Bowl. Jalix Hunt had phenomenal reps at the Senior Bowl going up against legit Power 5 players. So I love that pick. You know, he could be, like I said about the corners, they could stink. But what I love about Howie Roseman is he identifies traits and he trusts his coaches to get those traits to show up on the field on Sundays. And that's all you can hope for from Jalix Hunt. I mean, the depth on the edge is absolutely outstanding. You're talking about Bryce Huff, new addition to the Eagles. Obviously, no longer Hassan Reddick, but Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith. You're talking about Jalix Hunt doesn't have to come in and produce right away as a third-round pick, can come behind those guys, learn and really learn the game behind some, you know, young guys who are eager and hungry, but also some veterans. I mean, BJ is going to be an outstanding leader for that room, and I can't wait to see what Hunt does in the Midnight Green. As we move through the draft, the Eagles in the fourth round selected running back Will Shipley, number 127 overall, out of Clemson University. Again, I loved this pick. Will Shipley has played big time college football for the Clemson Tigers. He's played in a lot of big games. He's shown his nose for the end zone, his propensity to get there. A tough runner, also a runner who's able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And I love it because what it does is it gets a cheap running back in the room behind Saquon Barkley, who you just paid a lot of money to. So now you got to kind of work it a little bit. You got to work the rest of the room a little bit. And Howie does that almost better than anyone. So when you pay that big money to Saquon, now you got to find these guys. So you're still going to have Kenneth Gainwell, I believe. I'd have to double check that. Maybe, I think he might have been a free agent. I'll have to check that one. I think he's still on the roster. Regardless, Will Shipley's going to compete for carries, you know, as a backup. But even then, like, this guy was the offense for Clemson this last year, and then he played with a lot of stud players at Clemson and played in a lot of big games at a great program under a great coach, and understands what it means to be great. So I just love it. That it's different than taking, you know, nothing against Kenny Gainwell or anything. He's had a good career and everything like that. But you're talking about taking a third down back out of Memphis in Kenneth Gainwell. You know, this is just Will Shipley, bigger body, Clemson, maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on that, but I think it's important, and I think Howie's realized that over the last couple years. Now this year, you know, earlier in the draft, I mean, Toledo, Houston Christian, you know, he's kind of going a little bit back to that, but I think he's finding some good players from those schools. Whereas, you know, early, you know, a couple drafts ago, it was Georgia, Bama. And you've seen what has happened with those players. And so I think this will be another great pick. Eagles made three picks in round five. Number 152 overall, Anais Smith, wide receiver out of Texas A&M. Extremely elusive wide receiver. I don't know too much about Anais Smith, but the little that I did see, extremely quick, shifty, in space, is probably going to have a legit chance to compete for this wide receiver three role, along with a sixth round pick that we made as well. I'll just talk, sixth round pick, 185th overall, Johnny Wilson, wide receiver out of Florida State. You're talking about it there again. We're talking about Texas A&M, SEC wide receiver, was used to getting pushed around, by those physical SEC corners. And then you're talking about Johnny Wilson, a 6'6" wide receiver who ran a 4.5 40, played at Florida State, a lot of good teams in the ACC, was on that great Florida State team last year before, obviously, they lost Jordan Travis, their star quarterback. And both of those guys, I think, are going to have an opportunity to fight for that wide receiver three role, along with Devontae Parker, who the Eagles acquired in free agency. And then probably the best pick in terms of fan perspective was made in round five, number 155 overall, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker out of Clemson. Has really just been the ultimate quarterback for the Clemson Tigers defense, and even if their offense has struggled, which it has over the last couple seasons, the defense has still been there. And who's been there in the middle? Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Obviously, the elephant in the room, his dad, Jeremiah Trotter, longtime Philadelphia Eagle, one of the best linebackers the Eagles have ever employed in that spot. So to get this guy in round five, the value was absolutely too good. People were talking about him in mock drafts in the second, third, fourth round. So the fact you're able to get him in the fifth, the value was there. The sentimental value was there. The need for the team is there. It's just a home run pick. I don't think there's really anything too much to say about that. Their last fifth round pick is one of the ones I'm actually most excited about too here. Trevor Keegan, guard from Michigan. Now, obviously, Jason Kelce no longer with the Philadelphia Eagles. That means Cam Jurgens is more than likely going to slide over to the center position, which means that we have an opening at the right guard. Everywhere else is obviously locked down. Landon Dickerson signed a big extension this offseason for the left guard. Jordan Mailata redid his deal as left tackle. Lane Johnson is still the best right tackle in the league. And Cam Jurgens played phenomenal at the right guard, but now will go to his more natural center position. And that opens up a right guard position. Trevor Keegan played at Michigan, like I mentioned. And what was Michigan known for last year? What was he known for? They were known for running the football and being a tough-nosed team. So anybody that was on that line, give him to me. He was the three-year starter at Michigan. He earned all Big Ten honors each year as a starter, and he was a team captain last year. He's 23 years old, 6'5", 3'10". I mean, this guy is what you look for in the fifth round, the fourth, fifth, sixth round. He didn't even allow a sack in 2023. He had a career-high pass blocking grade of 80.7, according to PFF. So that's where all that kind of comes along, and where I just see a lot of upside with that pick. It's just one of those picks that, like, yeah, you might just look at it and it might, you know, kind of go, you know, be like, okay, whatever, we took a guard in the fifth round, the end of the fifth round, right? But it's those picks that Jeff Stoutland could work with. Jeff Stoutland can get Trevor Keegan and doesn't have to play him right away. You know, Tyler Steen, offensive lineman we took from Alabama last year, will more than likely get the start week one at right guard. But if Trevor Keegan comes in and learns the system and picks it up quick, you could guarantee he's going to have a chance to win that job. And Michigan, like, I don't know. It would be different if we took a lineman from a smaller school, but the fact that he's from the national champion, from a team that prided themselves on running the football and being physical, just an A-plus pick in the fifth round for me there. So love that. I mentioned the Johnny Wilson pick. And then the last pick the Eagles made in the sixth round was Dylan McMahon, center from North Carolina State. Just absolutely crazy that the Eagles did this. Center, like I mentioned, from NC State. This player, Dylan McMahon, had the third highest athleticism score since 2003 via Next Gen Stats. Jason Kelce earned a 98 athleticism score and was selected one pick later in 2011 at 191st overall. So this is, since 2003, the third highest athletic score of all time. You're talking about the number one being Tanner Bortoloni. He was in the same draft out of Wisconsin. He had a 99. Oh, I didn't even know where he went. Jason Kelce, like I mentioned, coming out in 2011, 98. Dylan McMahon, here we go, 95. Number four on this list was Robert Hunt, who just got an absolute bag, I believe, to go to Carolina. He had a 94, and then Jake Brendel from 2016. Not sure if he's still in the league or not, but, you know, there's an obvious correlation here to what the Eagles want from their centers. They want athletes. They want strong, mobile players that can hold it down on the edges if they need to pull those guys around. So, like I said, I think this draft overall was an A+. I mean, like, I can't see a single pick in this draft that I don't like. You know, like, you took a couple high upside wide receivers. You took a linebacker from a defensive program who has sentimental value as obviously the son of a former Eagle. You take a guard from Michigan, one of the best rushing teams in college football, arguably we've ever seen. You take Dylan McMahon in the sixth round, a athletic mobile center to back up Cam Jurgens, who can learn from Jason Kelsey. I'm sure he'll be on the staff as well as Cam Jurgens. And potentially, if anything happened to Cam Jurgens, step in and be a difference maker. And then you talk about adding to the edge with an athletic freak in Jalix Hunt and addressing your biggest need with arguably the top two corners in the draft with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. I mean, every single pick, I have nothing bad to say. And what else did Howie do? He acquired an extra third round pick, an extra fourth round pick, and an extra fifth round pick in 2025. Via the eight trades that he made from moving back in the draft, so on and so forth. So you're talking about acquiring another third, another fourth, another fifth. I mean, we took Hunt in the third, we took Shipley in the fourth, and then you took Trotter, Keegan, and Anani Smith in the fifth. So you're talking about the potential to even add more value next season. So overall, I can't say enough good words about the draft that we had. Not saying I knew who every single one of these players are. I'm not a huge college football guy, so I learn about them a lot during the draft process. And going over the draft and seeing what Howie was able to do, making nine selections as well as acquiring three future picks, like, I have nothing but good things to say about what Howie Roseman did and what he will continue to do as the Philadelphia Eagles general manager. But that is going to wrap it up for the show today, guys. I just wanted to hop on and give a quick draft update. We are going to get some more episodes, more and more, as the summer rolls on and everything. So we'll get back on there. Once again, check the description below for all our social media handles. Feel free to shoot us any questions, and we'll try to answer it live on the show. Thank you guys once again for tuning in, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here again next time.